Dear Father, we ask in the name of your Son Jesus this evening, as we study further the subject of sin, we ask that our minds be flooded with light. There is no error, and there is no misjudgment. What we have this evening and every other session of this series is clarity and accuracy, and all our minds behold Jesus Christ, your Son, as he sees us in him. Amen. Amen. All right, 2 Timothy 3:15, looking at the doctrine of sin. What the scripture teaches as sin. So he says, and from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Then he says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. That's spiritual growth. That the man of God will be perfect, truly polished, unto all good works. So by introducing the subject of salvation in 15, which is where we have the word soteria. Don't forget, we established that soteria has a sozo as a verb. From where on Saturday we looked at it from the healing perspective. I can remember that from the preservative perspective, from the restorative perspective. And then there must be a sota, someone who does that, and that's why he says faith in Christ. So it was on that tangent that we left it out on Saturday, to see sin actually as a condition, both in motive, which we would explore, and also in action. And don't forget again, we said you cannot mention sin without an action. You can't have amataya without an amatano. There must be an action to sin. So the question we're going to answer today, and I believe into tomorrow, and Thursday and Friday, will be, is there a common sin in humanity, oftentimes called the original sin? We've delved into it, but I think I want us to be a bit more detailed. Is there a common sin? I recall in growing up, when we had morning devotions, our parents would say, we are all. So you at the first instance, you will be passive about it. After a while, you felt, why would you put me? You don't even know what's going on in my mind. You don't know. So there's an assumption of a common sin. Now, in Romans chapter 5, verse 12, where that is usually derived from by some scholars, Romans chapter 5, verse 12, we're going to do a quite some technical word study, because that's the way you can unbundle these things. Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. So, death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Now, the first thing we have said in this series is, sin is specific. Okay? Sin is specific. So, he uses the word there, amataya. By one man, amataya, which is a noun for sin, entered into the world, entered into the world. I want you to never think that sin was outside somewhere, then it came in. Of course, sometimes in language, it's the weakness of the translation. Because you will never find any language per se that will be, 100% at par. So, Paul, who's pronounced in Greek, used the word eisekomai. Now, eisekomai has two ways you can see it. E-I-S-E-R-C-H-O-M-A-I. It's used for an entrance from outside. It came into the house, okay? Is used for something that was found inside, but was not there before. And then it's also used for something that happened because of what was done inside. So we want to expand our horizon a little bit. What happened inside? What happened? What came inside? Okay, So it says sin, sin entered, that is amatiah, asekumai. So we can say sin happened. Okay? Sin happened, which is for it happened, it entered, it occurred. So sin happened through one man. Sin happened to the world. Now, it shows a thinking that we mustn't lose. The word world is the word cosmos, K-O-S-M-O-S, used in a variable form. On Wednesday, we'll see something about words. We'll look at the book of James. It's cosmos, where you have cosmopolitan, but this one is K-O-S-M-O-S, used for the affairs or the inhabitants. Now, the question I want to ask you is, was this man an inhabitant? Huh? Was he an inhabitant? Huh? He was. Was he in that world? Okay, so that means we would not be wrong to say sin happened at the world. Because we discover that every element of sin came from that world. We will see that. So it's not like sin flew from somewhere, because you couldn't have had sin outside man's activities. So sin entered into the world. Pay attention, please. And then he says, and Paul was very careful. He says, sin entered into the world. That happened. By saying this, Paul is actually describing an action of man, not something that we can't explain. Sin, because we follow through what he said. And he says, and death by sin. Okay? Death by sin, that's what Thanatos, Dia, Amatai. That is on the occasion of sin. Don't forget, the sin is specific by one man. So it's a death by sin. Now, it changes its use of words by saying, and so death passed upon. Now look at the word passed. The word passed is now the word diakomai. D-I-E-R-C-H-O-M-A. It's used 44 times. D-I-E-R-C-H-O-M-A-I, sorry. It means to spread. Now, in God's name, give me your attention. By saying it passed upon all men, and listen carefully here, the word diakoma is not used for procreation. Diakoma is used for something that spread. A news that spread. In fact, from the way diakoma is used in the Greek, the spread will not be even all the time. Also, it says it spread. Okay? Which is a verb. Upon all men, so that all have sinned. The verb. Or, to all that sinned. A verb. Because you can't have spread without an action. So, the spread of death is the spread of sin. Who's following what I'm saying here? That word, unto all men, is not procreation. It's an actual influence . So, he goes further to say, and death by sin.
Now, again, the word death, please listen carefully here. The word death again is a noun that has a verb. The verb is the word thnesko, T-H-N-E-S-K-O, which has a way it is also used. Look at Matthew 2. Saying, arise and take the young child and his mother, and go into the land of Israel, for they are dead which sought the young child's life. That is, they have died. But you see, it's not all the time. Now, in the four Gospels, we find this word used 9 times, of which 8 times was literal. In the literal Greek, pardon me. But notice there are places where the word dying or to be made dead was not literal. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 5. And verse 6. For she that lives in pleasure is dead while she lives. Can you imagine? Dead while she lives. Of course, he's talking about indulgence there. So he refers to indulgence, an action of man, he's called death. So the death of Romans 5:12 again is in man's action. Who's following this? Are you following this? Okay. Because if the sin is a man's action, then the death is a man's action. That's the way he related it. And so, Romans 5. So, like we said, let's track back. Romans 5:14 should not be seen as procreation. And so, death, that is the word here is death, pass upon all, and so, that kai, that is, the word so is H-O-U-T-O-S, used for in this manner, death passed. Now again, sin by one man's sin, that's one man's action. Are you following? So it said, in that same manner. What is the manner we are discussing? A man's action. In that same manner. The focus is Adam. For that all have sinned, or all that sinned. So he's describing the consequences of an action. It's not describing procreation. So in other words, from verse 12, Paul distinguishes men. And you see, it doesn't hold water to think that what the writer is saying that's for is that somebody now did something. And because of what he did, all men have done it. There is no principle like that in Scripture. That because of what he has done, all men have done it. Because say, all men have sinned. It didn't say all men have sinned, which again is incongruous. All men have sinned, which is an active word. You can't say all men have sinned if they were not born. So the all men will have to be all men who were existing, who acted in sin.
Let me see how it's funny what we're saying here.
The only place, and we studied this on Friday, the only place where this can fly, and it is not this text, where it can fly is in the human body. Because the human body has nothing to do with the human will. And let's even assume, let's even look at it. No human being reproduces another person's actions. I can copy an action, I can follow an action, but it was not a reproduction outside my context. Is it clear? Is it clear? Again, like we said on Saturday, the only place we can reinforce the issue of procreation because of sin, and it's not just sin actually, it won't be sin, will be the physical body, and that will mean us submitting that the physical body is man's spiritual nature. That doesn't make sense. Okay? And again, like I said on Saturday, it will imply, if it is true that, okay, because of Adam, you know, that's why I said, always think through the implication of the submission. Because of Adam, okay, Adam gives birth to someone, the person becomes a sinner because of procreation. Fine. So, he's being held responsible for what Adam has done. He hasn't done anything, but he's being said to have done it without doing it. That's a lie. Two, and more critically, what now happens? If the man has faith in Christ and is born again, it will therefore suffice, if that principle follows, that every child he has is also born again. That's what I'm saying here. It will have to flow like that. That every child he has will also be born again. Oh, no. Okay, that will mean he's born again, but he is reproducing by spiritual nature for the devil. So you cannot reprobate and approbate. And that's why we'll get to that text today and tomorrow. One man's disobedience, all were made sinners, one man's obedience. And you see, when you are so excited, I told you on Sunday, whenever you are teaching proper doctrine and people are shouting, teach it again. Go over it again. That means they did not understand what you were saying. You go, wow, like ambulance. Go over it again. Now, follow this. It will imply that, therefore, if you say by one, say, and people are excited, they pray, hallelujah. Oh, we didn't do anything to be sinners. You know those things are very good for kindergarten believers. We didn't do anything to become sinners. It also means we don't do anything to be, to be made righteous. It's not by works. What you are saying, in other words, is all men are righteous. No, I didn't mean that. I mean, the believer doesn't do anything. He just believes. Let me help you. Okay? Now, there's a text in 1 Corinthians 7:14 where this is mentioned. I've heard some people, try to quote this. There was a teaching that flew in the 70s, in the 80s. I think somebody brought it to Nigeria in the 90s or 2000. They call it the godly seed. And again, it's another way of just stretching a truth till it becomes a lie. But when you overstretch something, it now becomes a lie. It now becomes a lie. Look at verse 14. For the unbelieving husband, 1 Corinthians 7, is sanctified by the wife. And the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. There is nowhere sanctification is called salvation. Rather, there is a sanctification that salvation produces. Who's following what I'm saying here? Are you following this? There's nowhere sanctification is called salvation. Sanctification describes salvation, but that is not salvation. Pay attention. By saying the unbelieving husband, he's talking about salvation. Alpha pistuo. He has not believed. He is sanctified by the wife. And the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. Else were your children unclean, but now they are holy. Now pay attention. That is, if there is no separation. He uses the word agiazo, used 28 times. Now agiazo is also used for natural objects. For example, Matthew 23 verse 17. The word agiazo means to treat special, to treat different. Matthew 23:17. I've said it many times, that except in case of persecution and abuse, which we have, there is no basis, abuse, deceit, is also like, there is no basis to say you want to separate from someone because of your faith. This clears it for you. And so if you cannot separate and divorce, as some call it, because of your faith, you can't do it because of doctrinal differences either. This is what I'm saying here. Okay, this makes the foundation for you. So, Matthew 23:17, O fools and blind, for whether is greater, the gold or the temple that sanctifies the gold? The temple that sanctifies the gold, or that makes the gold special. 19. O fools, which is greater, the gift or the altar that sanctifies the gold? The gift, sorry. Then look at another place. 1 Timothy 4:5. So the sanctification is not the value of the gold, but the value of what? The temple. Who's following what I'm saying here? Look at this. 1 Timothy 4:5. For it is sanctified, what is sanctified? Verse 4. For every creature of God is good and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. Agiazo. So, without the prayer, without the word of God, it is not treated special. Are you following what I'm saying? Without the temple, the gold is ordinary. So he's saying, in that breath, 1 Corinthians 7:14, without the husband. So the husband is actually what, that's the believing husband, is what places value on the non-believing wife. Is that very clear? He's not talking about salvation. So he uses the word else, 1 Corinthians 7:14. Their children are unclean, now they are called holy. What holy is? Akathasis, akathasis in the Greek, they're unclean, sorry. AKA RTHATOS. Again, used for things. So why would he say this? Remember that when Cornelius, please listen carefully, when he sent for Peter, the words the angel said is, you cannot call unclean what I have cleansed. The people that were being referred to were not saved. So the cleansing he's talking about is what? My plan to save them. Cornelius could have still refused to listen. But the point is, look, I've treated these people with honor and dignity. You cannot treat them uncommon. Please follow what I'm saying here. So it's used for treating with honor and dignity. So the unbelieving wife, because of the believing husband, is treated with what? Honor and dignity. And so Paul was careful, if I'm allowed to use that word, looking disrespectful. By the next verse, but if the unbelieving depart, he still calls the unbelieving unbelieving. He says, let him depart. A brother or sister, he doesn't call them brother or sister, is not under bondage in such cases. So, marriage does not translate to salvation. That's what, basically what he's saying. But, marriage to a believer translates to honor. What's the honor? The fact that that believer will walk in love. That believer will submit to you. That's what he's talking about. Now, let's get back to Romans 5. So, procreation cannot in any way be seen as a procreation of a spiritual nature. No. It doesn't reproduce minds. It doesn't reproduce thinking in the basic things. Procreation does not reproduce information. You don't become an expert in geology because your father is an expert in geology. I mean, that has happened many times. It doesn't even transfer ideas and ideals. That's thinking. So, if it doesn't reproduce thinking, it cannot reproduce sin. It's not what I say here. So, let's go further. Romans 5:13. So, verse 12, we said the word deikomai, which was used, you know, just side of the word esekomai, it means to spread gradually and to spread with definite actions. And so verse 13, which has also been used carelessly. For until the law, sin was in the world. Again, what is the world? Activities of men. Amatia and cosmos. What is the world? Activities of men. Now this it could be so funny that people will say, well, there was no sin because there was no law. That's silly. We just read now that sin entered into the world. There was no sin, he says. No, there was no law. That's what he said. But he says, sin is not imputed. Now, the word imputed means to charge to an account so that you will pay back. Elogio is the Greek word here. E-L-L-O-G-E-O. To charge a debt, an obligation. An obligation. An obligation to pay. It is not you have not done wrong. Because sin means you have done wrong. But to impute means now you have to pay. But because I have not asked you to pay does not mean you have not done wrong. Who's following what I'm saying here? So that it was not charged, the word elogio was used by Paul in the story, in the instance where he wrote Philemon 18. And it says concerning Onesimus, it says, charge it to my account. To my account. Put it on my account. Let me be the one to hold you. So, sin was not imputed does not mean sin did not exist. But this is something. Sin was not charged, but the sin still carried death. Huh? The sin still carried death. So sin carried death. So what did the law just do? The law now made death man's responsibility. That's what the law did. So, he says,
Sin is uncharged, yet it had death. Death, watch this now. Nevertheless, verse 14, despite that sin was not charged, the word nevertheless in the Greek is the word Allah, A-double-L-A, is a conjunction. In spite of this, death reigned from Adam to Moses. Again, where did death come from? Remember, we said it's the word Thanatos, Dia, Amataya. Death by sin. So, without the law, was death in the world? Was sin in the world? Very good. So, the charge of the law is to condemn man. It is not the law that made sin sin or made the sin produce death. It's not the law. Let's proceed further. Now look at the word death reigned. By using reign again, it doesn't talk about procreation. The word reign is when you have kingdom. It's the word basileo. B-A-S-I-L-E-U-O. B-A-S-I-L-E-U-O. Which refers to something gathering followership, or gathering victims, or gathering submission. Death reigned. Notice that. This terminology is repeated in verse 17. Death reigned. 14, then 17. They will see it in 21. Sin has reigned unto death. Then he says, even so, grace reigns through righteousness. Don't forget, righteousness is a gift that you receive. So the reign of grace is also in individuals. Are you following that? The reign of grace, is it common to humanity or is in individuals? We that have received lambano, to take off the gift of righteousness. So if you can look at the reign of grace, which is the reign of faith in what Christ has done, then you know that the reign of sin or the reign of death via sin is referring to individuals. I believe that Paul, a lot of people have just, you know, used his identification terms to conjure things that didn't exist. Because he's using definite things that we can see. Look at Romans 6, verse 12. Can this reign be stopped? Yes. Romans 6, 12. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body. Is he talking about reproduction? No. So every time you have the word basileo, which speaks of authority, you must have a place or a space. A place or a space. So go back to Romans 5. So the place, please go back there. The place or the space of that basileo is where? In the world. What is the world? Man's activities. Again, it's not referring to reproduction. And so
what Paul is saying. But if Paul was talking about humanity generally, he would not mention individuals. That from Adam to Moses, that means I can actually follow the rule. He's not talking about reproduction. Or saying, in Adam, everybody has sinned. Then if everybody has sinned in Adam, he will not use active words. Deacomai, Ezekomai, Basilio, Amatano. Those are words that describe actions. So, he would have used words that describe actions. What he's basically saying to us is that it is found in the actions of men. He's not talking about reproduction. And don't forget again, in Romans 5:14, it reigned from Adam to Moses. He didn't say he stopped at Moses. Let's look at that word. The word he uses there is the word Necri. M-E-C-H-R-I. It doesn't talk about a stop. It says, stop from here to this place. That's today's English. No. The word Necri here actually is what you can call an adverb, just describing actions. Let's see where it's used. Matthew 11:13. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. It is where they stopped at John, because John himself prophesied. Who's following this? Look at verse 23. Thou Capernaum, which are exalted unto heaven, shall be brought down to the hell. For if the mighty works which have done in thee have been done in Sodom, it will have remained until this day. So it describes a present tense happening. Let's see Matthew 28, verse 15. So they took the money as they did, as they were taught, and this saying is commonly reported among the Jews till now. So it's not a stop, it's a description of the present happening. Romans 15:19. Through mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about unto Illyricum, I have fully, that means in Illyricum, the gospel is fully preached. Now, more specifically, look at Ephesians 4:13. Till we all come to the unity of the faith. Not a stop, but actually an ongoing action. Till we all come to the unity of the faith. Philippians 2:8. So, the word Mercury talks about an ongoing reality. Philippians 2:8. Became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. 1 Timothy 6:14. And 2 Timothy 2:9. Okay. So, go to Romans 5. So the death stopped raining at Moses. Oh, who's following this? Okay. Now, because if you read further, it lets you see that the death reigned after. So it's not like God to, as the law was given, death. No, no, no. It's talking about the continual influence. Why he said Adam to Moses was to show you that the effect of sin preceded the law. So we shouldn't make a mother of a Moses there. That the effect of sin preceded the law.
So verse 14, now pay attention very well here. Even over them. His old English. Remember the word upon. Right? Epi. What's upon again? Is it on your head? When you use the word epi, upon them, that's the word over them, is at the basis of or at the instance of. So, do we find a voluntary action or an involuntary action? Okay, so even over them there, the them, are they inactive or they are active? Very good. So is he talking about procreation or actions? Very good. At the instance of them, now pay attention here. At the instance of them, now look at the play of words. Go to 12. So death passed upon all, so that all have sinned. Now, look at 14. Even at the instance of them, let's go, that what? That had not sinned. No, stop there first. That had not sinned. So there was a negative put on sin for some people. Now, we'll conclude this shortly. That already negates a corporate sin. Because it says, they have not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression. That is, their actions are not Adam's actions. Who's following that? That negates a feeling of 12, that 12 is saying one man's action becomes everybody's action. Are you getting this at all? So, he said, from Adam to Moses is not referring to a corporate sin. It's just to generalize the actions of sin. But not a particular common sin. Who had not sinned, so he put an alpha there, who had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression. So, that means Adam's transgression is for you. Verse 14 annuls every thinking of Adam's sin being corporate. Who's following this at all? Who are not? Don't forget the word over is the word apply at their own instance. So, everybody bears their father's name. You know what they say in Yoruba? Each man, even over them that have not sinned after. Now, the word submitted is the word omoyoma, which is H-O-M-O-I-O-M-A. Is used for examples. Romans 1:23. Made like. Romans 6:5. I want to ask a question. Did he say they passed upon all who have not sinned? No. Who have not sinned the same way? Are you following this? Romans 6:5. No, Romans 8. Sorry for that. 8:3. No. 6:5, I was right. If we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, the Romans 8:3, in the likeness of sinful flesh,
Philippians 2:7. Made in the likeness of men. And you have Revelation 9:7. Now, the verb of this word, I want us to look at it closely, is the word homoio. I'll spell it for you. H-O-M-O-I-O-O. H-O-M-O-I-O-O. You'll find it in Romans 9:29. Be made like unto Gomorrah. Hebrews 2:17. It's a verb. Made like unto his brethren, the way he was formed. Acts 4:14-11, I skipped that. Acts 14:11. The gods are come down to us in the likeness of men. So, go back to Romans 5:14. Did men sin from Adam to Moses? Was it a corporate thing? Who have not sinned after the same manner of Adam's transgression? So what did we use Adam there for? The first person. Not the one whose sin everybody is responsible for. Let me say that they're following this. So, did you ever read where it says sin passed upon all men? No. It is the consequence of sin based on men's actions. So, there is no universal sin that Jesus came to die for, Adam's sin. There's nothing like that. So sin doesn't pass from a man to another. In fact, in the Old Testament, the prophets have resolved that. That, look at it, Ezekiel. Are you getting this? Ezekiel 18. What mean ye, verse 2, that you use this proverb concerning the land of Israel? The fathers have eaten sour grapes, and the children's teeth are set on edge. Verse 3, as I live, saith the Lord God, you shall not have any more occasions to use this proverb in Israel. Behold, all souls are mine. Soul of father, soul of the son is mine. The soul that sinneth, he shall die. If a man be just, and do that is right, lawful, and right. Now, let's go further. Look at verse 19. You may say, why does not the son bear the iniquity of the father? When the son has done that which is lawful and right, and have kept all the things that have done, then he shall live. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. The son shall not bear the iniquity of the father, neither shall the father bear the iniquity of the son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon him, the good of the wicked shall be upon him. That is, even with their fainting impression of God in the Old Testament, they already are known. Who's following this, please? So it's totally not correct to think that someone's sin becomes another one. Look at, you know, it takes you a while to change. Look at John 5. John 9, sorry. They asked Jesus the same question. Who sins? That this man is born blind. This man or his parents that he was born blind. Jesus answered, neither had any man sinned. Because there was that opinion that children were bearing a responsibility of their parents. And you see that is one of the ways that, you know, people have come in with the generational curse system. And I think I've explained this before. Even when people of Israel were going from Egypt to Canaan, you know, there was what Moses said. He said, look, this generation of those who doubted, that is the whole nation, they doubt. Everybody goes, forget it, just you know, want us to perish this wilderness. There was a separation of the children. So the children that did not leave with them from Egypt, separate them. I know it's not unlikely that all the children just say, Daddy, you mean Moses brought us here to destroy us? What kind of person is Moses? A primary or nursery. Tell me, these ones are, they did not doubt. Eh? But they said, hey, they did not doubt. We'll get to that. Then I told you, there can't be sin without knowledge. That's why when the prophet had seen what Herod did to those children when Jesus was born, and they keep him on 2 years down, he said, Rama will weep. Then the next verse says, she will now rejoice because they will be found. The same statement, all this is in law in Genesis, you can go and look for it. And the same statement, when David heard that baby had died, he said, he's alive. See you again. So, there is nothing in anyone that goes to another person as putting sin. The popular scripture people quote in Psalm 51 that in iniquity was when my mother conceived me. That's his mother's iniquity. It is a mother's action. Obviously, of course, this is debatable. She wasn't the legitimate wife of Jesse. So he was talking about the condition of his birth, not his nature. So all those things were just construed by people to believe that when you give back to a child back from the womb, the child is already a sinner. In fact, somebody said that by the tears of the child, the crying is selfishness. Sin is emanating. So people's theology is so wicked. And Jesus cried. Or he didn't cry. Isaiah prophesying. Are you following this? So go back to Romans 5. Hope you are learning something. Even over them that have not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression. Now notice that he changes the word. He now uses the word parabasis. Parabasis, P-A-R-A-B-A-S-I-S, is a willful disregard. It's an action. It's not a nature. It's a willful action. It means to overstep or to step beyond. You see the word in Romans 2:23? So he calls Adam's sin. And he's just using adjectives. Listen, you can have sin, but it's not a transgression. Give your head. Romans 2:23. Breaking the law. Romans 4:15. Where there is no law, there is no transgression. And this is why some people have said because there was no law in the Old Testament, there was no transgression. And they still embrace the law of faith in Abraham. So if the law of faith was in Abraham, and there was no, I said because there is no law, is he talking about the law of Moses? Amen? There's no transgression. So what was the sin that was in Adam? It was an act of faith. 1 Timothy 2:14 or Galatians 3:19 first. He's using there, you can see that. But most importantly, 1 Timothy 2:14.
Notwithstanding, and Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. In the transgression.
So go back to Romans 5. So that word transgression there is an adjective describing that noun. Romans 5, verse 14. Who is this where the challenge came? Who is the figure of him that was to come?
Now, you need to realize the weakness of vocabulary when this was written. This gives the view that is saying Adam is the figure of him that was to come. Talking about Christ. No. No. Sometimes careless really can make us assume that what he's saying. The word rule there is the Greek word os, or H-O. It's used 411 times. It can be which, who, what, or that. Which, who, what, or that. Used oftentimes to stress an actor or an action or an event. So you will know which one to pick out of the four I gave you by context. Who? Just like saying, if God be for us, who can be against us? And you're looking for somebody. Whereas it is what? Because what was referring to was accusation. Which one is this? Not a person. You say, in this office, if God be for me, who can be against me? Calm down. Walk in love. Is what? So, what was he discussing in Romans 5, 13, 14, and 12? Was he discussing men or actions? So, what should be our H-O or H-O-S in Romans 5, 14? Who or what or which? Okay. So, when he says, which is the figure? Now, what was he referring to? Adam or the transgression? Eh? So it can't be who. So Adam's sin is a figure. Which is the word typos. Remember, we had used the word homoerebus before. Which is the word typos. Typos is used for a figure, a pattern. A pattern. A mark. A pattern. Something that is followed after. Again, is not a reproduction. Something that leaves a mark that you can see. You know, it's not difficult to know that Bible account shows that sin spread through Cain, not Abel. That's how sin spread. Sin didn't spread through Abel, it spread through Cain. The sin lies at the door. So, sin, which is of the wicked one, spread through Cain, not Abel. Who's following this at all? See this. So, by using the word tuples, which you will find in John 20, 25, except I see in the hand the print of what? Huh? The print. What's that? The pattern. It's not talking about the nails, but the print. The pattern. Where I will see the nails pass through. Pay attention. Then, Acts 7,
43 and 44. Figures which you were made to worship them, and 44, fashion, make it to the fashion that he had seen. Romans 6:17. But very vitally, look at 1 Corinthians 10. Now these things were our examples, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as we lusted after. The word examples there is the word typos. 1 Corinthians 10:6, verse 11. Now all this happened unto them for examples, and they were written for admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Now I want to ask a question. Did he list every sin available here? No. But he listed what? Examples. So Adam's transgression. Let's see some other text. I mean, makes a lot of sense. Philippians 3:17. Also has the word typos. First Thessalonians 1:7. I think that's one you should read. So that you were examples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia, a pattern to follow. 2 Thessalonians 3:9. An example. 1 Timothy 4:12. Be thou an example of the believer. Titus 2:7. Showing a pattern of good works. And 1 Peter 5:3, Hebrews 8:5. 1 Peter 5:3, then Hebrews 8:5. So, 1 Peter 5:3, quickly, let me just see that. Okay. An example to the flock. Now, so that means Adam's influence was not reproduction. It was what? Action. Who's following this? Are you following this? It was not reproduction. It was action. He calls it a pattern. Now, why would he call it a pattern? He started by calling it amatano or amataya. Then he calls it a parabasis, an action that now becomes what? An example. So, by using sin entered into the world, how did he enter into the world? Adam's actions now became an example, a pattern. He was not talking about procreation. Let me see if they're following this, please. Come on, guys, are you following this? Oh, good. Again, go back to verse 14, Romans 5. So, which is a figure of him? Again, the word here is a Greek word, H-O-T-O, used for the definite article. Which is a figure of that which? Or that the that was to come. Specific. That was to come. Pay attention, please. It's not a person that he's talking about. Because the word to come is the word melo. Melo is not used for men, but things that will happen. Watch Romans 4:24.
to whom it shall be imputed. Actions.
Romans 4:24. Romans 8:13.
If you live after the flesh, you shall.
You shall die. You shall live.
But look at Romans 8:38.
For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come.
So go back to Romans 5.
So, Adam's transgression is what? Is it a procreation? What is it? An example of such that will come after.
He had told you in 14 again, who have not sinned after the similitude.
So that means it does not generalize sin, even though sin is sin.
There was not one sin that belongs to humanity.
No, think about Adam's sin was unbelief. We'll see where we'll bring that out.
Because if you follow what we said earlier on, we said by the time in Genesis 2, it is not good. There was already a defect.
So what happened in Genesis 3 was an awareness of the sin, then sin.
Keep following this. I don't want to lose you in that. It was
you remember the statement was, we thought we were naked. Then it was, who told you?
So it was, what have you done?
Who told you?
Because what he was given was a help meet.
Rather than the help meet, which is life,
he went for the law of the tree of sin, the knowledge of good and evil.
Who's getting what I'm saying here?
Who told you that you were naked?
He was naked already in chapter 2.
It was who told you.
So we'll make that distinction. We've done it before. We'll do it again.
So go back here.
So Adam's sin becomes what? An example.
It's not an example of Jesus that is to come.
No.
It was his transgression that became an example.
So that's why verse 15 now says, but not as the offense, so also is the free gift.
So you see, he's talking about the offense.
So, does a man follow Adam's example by an act of his will?
A sin outside the volition of a man?
No.
Is that clear?
To call it sin, there must be an action.
Look at verse 19.
For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners.
Please follow this very well.
So, by the obedience of one, shall many be made righteous.
So far we have read Adam's disobedience as an example.
Now, the word made here If he had used the word, for example, when you have creation, stasis, or use the word poheo, where you have poheo used for to create or manufacture, then we'll have had a problem. Because that means somebody manufactured this sinner. But that's not what he said. So before we go further, let's come back again. One man's disobedience, which is the word parakohe, P-A-R-A-K-O-E. So how many Greek words have we seen? How many adjectives? We have seen amataya, sin. We have seen parabasis, transgression. They are all adjectives describing the same thing. And you know, Paul emphatically uses those adjectives so that you will see it as an action. Parabasis. One other one we didn't look at, I think that will be tomorrow, is the word paraptoma. All those terminologies are verbs. He lets you see that it is not a nature, it's a verb. By consistently using verbs, he's letting you see that it is a verb. It's not an inactivity. So, he uses the word parakoe. Parakoe is P-A-R-A-K-O-E. It's a refusal to listen. 2 Corinthians 10:6 uses it to avenge every disobedience. Hebrews 2:2, every disobedience shall receive a just recompense of reward. Hebrews 2:2, a refusal to listen. So again, Adam's disobedience, one man's disobedience, was it procreation or it was an example? Again, look at it. An example to of not listening. An example of a misstep, an overstep. Parapoma, parabasis, and parakoe. It is not a nature. Is it clear? It is not a nature. So he says, it's a pattern. So by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. The word sinners is amatolos, those who conduct themselves in sin. Now the word made, I said, oftentimes you have the word God made, where you have the Greek word P-O-I-O-E or P-O-I-E or something, poio, which means to manufacture something, an act of another. You also have the word stasis, which is to create. Now, if in any light, please look up. If, except you want to leave 19 out of context, we had traced the genesis of sin from 14, sorry, from 12, as in man's action. If we get to 19 and say, many were made sinners, if the word would mean to create, who would have created them? That would be Adam. That would be very strange to call Adam a creator of men. Who's following what I'm saying here? That would be very strange. Are you getting this? Because if we have said in verse 12 that sin is at the instance of a man's action, then we now get to 19 and say there, that means that Adam, Zeda Adam now get God, being the new, what do we call him now? He now got into God and God was now doing Adam's bidding. That doesn't make any sense. So, what he's saying in essence here is that made, the word made is where you have to appoint. K-A-T-H-I-S-T-E-M-I. To appoint. To give a responsibility to. Katistemi. To give a responsibility to put in charge of. That is, I gave you something to do. I gave you to do something. It is not reproduction. You don't appoint children from your womb. Who's following what I say here? So, the word katisteni is used severally, again, a lot of times in the book of Hebrews, so we look at that. Look at Titus 1:5. No apostle, no epistle taught original sin. Nobody did. Jesus did not teach it. Paul did not teach it. The apostles did not teach it. Titus 1:5. For this cause I left thee in Crete, that thou shouldst set in order the things that are wanting. Now, let's read the B part. And what? That is the word made. Ordain elders in every city as I have what? Appointed. In other words, as I gave you charge. Something you can do. Let me ask you, was it possible for Titus to disobey Paul?
Yes.
He didn't have to follow what he said. Look at Hebrews 2, verse 6. But one in a certain place testifies, saying, what is man that thou art mindful of him, or the Son of Man that thou visit him? Hebrews 2:6. Thou made him a little lower than the angels. Thou crowned him with glory and honor, and did set him over the works of your hand. That is, you handed it over to him. Thou hast put all things submitted under his feet, for in that he put under his feet, he left them that is not put under him. But now we see yet not all things put under him. He says, we see Jesus. Are you there? He now says, who was made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. So there was an action taken. Who's following this? So you give responsibility to him, the man will fulfill. And that's why Jesus' work for this was called obedience. Now let's see the book of Hebrews again. Hebrews 5:1. Katisteni. For every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. So there will be an action. You can do it, you may not do it. Hebrews 8 verse 3, yes. Every high priest is ordained to offer. Appointed to offer. Look at James 3. So when you use the word katistemi, is a man's will involved? Huh? It is. James 3, verse 6. The tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members. It defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature, and it is set on the fire of hell. Now, it now tells you in verse 8 that you can, that the, no man can tame the tongue. Then in 9, it says, do not use your words to curse. That means everything he said there is within human volition. The tongue can be used not to speak evil. Very basic. That's why he says in verse 11, doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet or bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear only berries, either a vine figs, so no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. So it's a case of what you want to use it for. A man can choose not to follow the example, James 4:4,
Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is an enemy of God. That is an act of your will. You choose to be a friend of the world. The 2 Peter 1:8. If these things be in you and abound, they make it that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus. That's the same thing. So, there's an act of your will. It's not a nature. It's a choice. So, go to Romans 5 again. So, by Adam's disobedience, an example and a pattern was set. An ordination was done. An appointment. A man can choose not to honor the appointment. You can disappoint. Romans 5:19. So God was not bound by Adam to be producing sinners. What do I do now? I'll just be throwing out sinners for the world. What do I do now? Adam is now throwing out sinners. He said Adam is not even around. So he says, so he wasn't referring to a nature, but he was referring to a choice given. That's what he says. For by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. So many will choose to be righteous. How? Verse 17. We have received. Are you there? To take. So how are you made righteous? You are given the gift of righteousness. What will be your responsibility? We that have what? So by the death of Jesus, God has made righteousness available to all. By Adam's transgression, sin was also made available to all. So by Jesus' death, there's the gift of righteousness. And it says we receive lambano. So the sin of Adam is Adam's sin. Is that clear? So Adam is just used as a pattern, an example. He is not the issuer and the procreator, allow me, of sin, all men. So the next time you see that yellow book, look at it. See what you have cost me. Cross. Eh? He's not responsible for your action. We will see that.